It's Greater Than Our Sin. That's going to be number 482. Brother Romel, would you open us?
Just go around the room first. Do you have any visitors, first-time visitors that are visiting with us for today? Today we are honored to have Pacific Baptist College with us all the way from Long Beach, and they will be blessing us with their songs today. I'm going to have them introduce themselves later after our welcome song and after our announcements. But for now, why don't we just go around and shake hands with everybody, welcome everybody, okay?
And I will write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I also read verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?
Okay, we're going to have our special singers come forward, and then we'll have our offertory hymn after them.
Treasures in that home above, trusting fully, trusting in the Savior's love, doing what I can for heaven's holy dove. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl, keeping
my record right,
watching
all day and night.
Told you so.
Just a little while to linger here below.
I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping
my record right,
watching
all day and night.
I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting
all day and night.
I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to leave this world.
Good Good morning. We are the tour group from Pacific Baptist Bible College in Long Beach, California. My name is Nick Grandy, and I'm a recent graduate from our Bible college.
Hello, my name is Jervin Moranin. I'm from Long Beach, California, and I will be a freshman this coming fall.
Hello, my name is Jaylene Jacome, and I'm from Downey, California, and I will be a freshman this fall.
Hello, my name is Errol Fabros, and I'm also a graduate from our college.
Hello, my name is Shelley Larkin from Carson, California, and I'm going to be a junior this coming fall. And at the piano, we have Jennifer San, and she's going to be a sophomore this coming fall. And we're very thankful to be here this morning.
Now awaits, run to the cross.
forgiveness. At the cross there is relief from the guilt that would condemn you, from the pain of unbelief.
There the Son of God was crucified so the captive could be free. There the debt of sin was paid by the Lamb of Calvary. Run to the cross, run to the cross.
My eyes behold the city
that when darkness claimed his own, he stepped from heaven's throne to bear a cross and wear a crown of thorns. So high the price he paid, the nails, the cross, the grave, such pardon he bestowed, such grace he showed. No greater sacrifice, he gave his very life. So deep the love, so high the price. Son of God, so willingly he took our place, clothed in robes of frail humanity,
fragile flesh and blood, priceless crimson flood,
offered up for sin at Calvary. So high the price he paid, the nails across the grave, such pardon he bestowed, such grace he showed. No greater sacrifice, he gave his very life. So deep the love, so high the price.
Buried like a beggar in a borrowed tomb, everything for nothing, so it seems.
Pacific Baptist College. They have a table outside for those of you that are in high school, going into college, and are considering going to Bible school. They have a table outside. They have some brochures and prayer cards. If you have any question, go in and ask Nick and the rest of the gang. Okay? Looking at the room here, I think we have a couple of young people that are approaching college, and they might be considering going to Bible school. So it's a blessing to have you here today. In our ministry, at least for me, is my first time to have a college come over and sing and bless us with songs. So you are a blessing to our church. Amen. Stand with me and open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 5. 1 Samuel chapter 5. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we do a verse-by-verse exposition of the Word of God, and the goal is to understand the Word of God and its applications to our lives as Christians. 1 Samuel chapter 5, there are 12 verses, and I'll ask you to be patient in reading the verses and carefully read the verses one by one with me. 1 Samuel chapter 5, after I finish reading, I will ask Brother David Shundell. It was a blessing yesterday to see the video of those that went out door knocking in our neighborhood. He brought a lot of young people from another church in, what's that place, Brother David? Logan. From Logan Heights. There's a mission work there. They came over here yesterday and went out door knocking, invited our neighbors to our VBS and to our church. So that had been a blessing for us. I'll ask him to pray after we read the verses. 1 Samuel chapter 5, say amen if you're there. 1 Samuel 5, follow along with me. And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early in the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emerods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God." They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, this is the title of the message, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" And they answered, "Let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about until Gath." And they carried the ark of God of Israel about thither. And it was so that they, after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction, and he smote the men of the city, both small and great. And they had emerods in their secret parts. Therefore, they sent the ark of God to Ekron. And it came to pass, as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, "They have brought about the ark of God of Israel to us to slay us and our people." So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it go against to his own place, that it slay us not and our people." For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men that died not, were smitten with the emerods, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. The title of this message is, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" Brother David, would you lift up your voice, please?
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege you've given us this morning, Lord, to come to your house and worship you, the one true God. Lord, I pray as we study the scripture this morning that you will reveal your word to us, Lord, through your preacher. And Lord, I pray that we'll understand that you truly are the one and true only God. And I pray for this day, Lord, again, Lord, that you will show the people around this church, Lord, that we serve a risen and a living God.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Chapter 5 begins with the most horrible things that ever happened to the nation of Israel. And as we said in our last Sunday service, that this is probably the worst event and incident that had ever happened to God's people. And that is the ark of God being taken. In verses 1 through 5, we find what happens when the ark is mocked. What happens when the ark is mocked? The Philistines took the ark of God, according to verse 1, and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. And you know what they did? They took this ark of God and places it side by side another god. You see the problem with that? The problem is there is this god by the name of Dagon, which is a fish god. Say, I want you to imagine, young people, a mermaid. Only problem is he's not a mermaid, he's a merman. So half of this idol, half of this god was a fish, and then the other half was a man. And in this place where the Philistines took the Ark of God, they set the Ark of God right next to this god by the name of Dagon. Now, they either did that because after they have won the victory against Israel, they may have been thinking, maybe this is our trophy for defeating the nation of Israel. It's either they were considering it as a trophy or as a collectible. How many of you have collectibles in your home? You like to collect things. Where the Philistines I'm going to assume that they were going to treat the Ark of God as a collectible God. How many of you know, as Christians today, God is not a collectible God? He is not one of the gods. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, one of the Ten Commandments, it goes right on the very top. The Bible says that thou shalt have no other gods before me. But notice what happens when the Ark of God is mocked. What happens when the Ark of God is mocked? What happens when you place God side to side by something that is not God? Verse 3, when they look at your Bible with me. Look at what happens. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon. Notice how this place is named after this god, Dagon. And when day of Ashdod arose in verse 3, in the morning, behold, what did you expect? What were they expecting? Well, of course, Dagon was falling upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And that is exactly what happens when you place something at the same pedestal, at the same level as the God of heaven. That thing that you bring up at the same level of God will be knocked down regardless of what it is. God versus anything or everything in life, God will win. Look at verse 4. When they rose early on the morning, and by the way, so this god Dagon falls over. They lift up that god and puts it right back into its place. By the way, what kind of god needs to be placed back into its place? Amen? I mean, if Dagon is a real God and an all-powerful God and an almighty God, why can't Dagon get up by himself and put himself back together, right? And the Bible says they rose early in the morning, and once again, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of God, of the Lord. Here's one thing. Anything that comes face to face against God shall be shut down. Go to the book of Acts with me, chapter 5. I will tell you this. You try to go against the work of God, against the man of God, against the word of God, you will be shot down. Go to Acts chapter 5, verse 38 and 39. We've seen these verses sometime in the past last year. In Acts chapter 5, verses 38 and 39, the Bible says, "Now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught." But notice verse 39. "But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." You know, young people, you listen to me. You cannot fight against God. When God calls you to do something, oh, you can argue with Him, oh, you can delay it, but you cannot fight against God's calling for you. Are you with me? Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 6. Turn there with me. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 6. "See, the nation of Israel and the rest of mankind is told not to go after other gods." Go to Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 6. "They were commanded to go not after other gods, to serve them and to worship them. And they provoked me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt." In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, and in Luke chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus Christ said, "No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. You see, God, here's the point number one. God cannot have a second place in your life. Just as God have you as first place in his life. I like the children's song. My kids like to sing this song. He loves me like I was his only child. Listen to this song. The song goes something like this. My father has a great big family, and there are many children besides me. If you're wondering how he divides his time, just let me say I never stand in line. He never favors me above the rest, but I can't help but say that I am blessed. He treats me best, I so often say, but then all my children feel that way. He loves me as if I was his only child. Do you realize that the way God looks at every Christian today, it's as if you are the only Christian in his life. You are the only believer in his life. And yet we treat God at a pedestal with other things in our life. So you cannot have God a second place in your life. For those of you that have a loved one, your spouse, for example, how would you like to be the number two in your spouse's life? And yet we expect God to have a second place or a third place in our lives. Secondly, notice, so first of all, notice what happens when the ark of God is mocked. Secondly, what happens when the ark of God is mishandled? Go to verse 6 now. Look at verse 6. The Philistines recognize that they cannot have the ark of God without consequence. And here's what they did to the ark of the covenant. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, but the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emerods. You know that word emerod is where we get the word hemorrhoids. Okay, hemorrhoids. Even Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God, in verse 7. And then I want you to notice verse 8. And they sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And notice how when the ark is mishandled, and they answered, let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath. And you know what they did? And they carried the ark of the God of Israel about thither. You know what the problem with that is? There is no one allowed to carry the ark of God but the Levites. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8. There is this designated priesthood that was allowed, and they were the only ones that were allowed to carry the ark. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8. Look at your Bible. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8. The Bible says, and at that time the Lord separated the tribe of who? Levi. To bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless his name unto this day. The only ones that were allowed to touch that ark of the covenant was a Levite. As a matter of fact, in the following chapters of 1 Samuel, there will be a man. When that ark of the covenant gets transported on that chariot, and that ark of the covenant begins to form, how many of you remember what happens to that man? He accidentally touched that Ark of the Covenant, and that man died right away. You see, the Ark of God was mishandled. But I want you to notice the question of the Philistines. What shall we do with the Ark of the God of Israel? What shall we do with God? In Matthew chapter 27, when Jesus Christ was being examined by Pilate. Go to Matthew chapter 27 with me. Matthew chapter 27, right before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, he gets presented to Pilate for a sentence. And I want you to pay attention to the question of Pilate. Matthew chapter 27, verse 22. Matthew chapter 27, starting with verse 21, the governor answered and said unto him, whether the twain will you that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. And then Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. You know, the question to the Philistines was, what shall we do with the Ark of God? The question to of Pilate was, what shall I do with Jesus? I will ask you that same question, because it is applicable to each and every one of us. What do you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? What will you do with God in your life? You understand that there will come a time. Go to Revelation chapter 6 with me. Revelation chapter 6. There will come a time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is God. What will you do with Him today? Go to Revelation chapter 6. I want you to look at verse 12. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, and even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken off a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. You understand? You slide to chapter 7, verse 9 of Revelations. I tell you, there will come a time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Revelation 7, verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb. You understand? That every world power, every president, every king, every ruler of this world will come and bow down to God. But each and every one of you will have to answer that same question that the Philistines had asked, that Pilate had asked, what shall I do with Jesus? Every atheist will one day come face to face with God. And every professing believer who has lost all interest in serving God will one day give an account to God. What will you do with Christ today? Hebrews 9:27, he says, that is it appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You can face God now, or you can face God later. You can deal with God now, or you can deal with God later. But the question is, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ in your life? What are you going to do with Him? If you are not saved today, I'll tell you that you will come to that point in your life when you are going to deal with death. And you say, well, I don't know if there is a God. I tell you, even if you do not know if there is a God, as an atheist, have you heard of the atheist prayer? The atheist prayer goes something like this. Oh God, if there is a God, save my soul if I have a soul. But I tell you, every atheist, everyone who claims to believe that there is no God, will one day have to answer the question, what will you do with God? And if you are saved today, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Do you realize you can live your life apart from the ministry, away from the ministry, away from church, away from God's calling to you? Oh, yes, you can. It's called free will. You can. You can choose not to serve God. Even after you got saved. Yes, you can do that. But the question is, what are you going to do today with Jesus Christ? What would you do with Jesus Christ? The Ark of the Covenant was not only mocked, secondly, it was mishandled, and then thirdly, it was moved. Go to verse 10 now as we come to close. The Ark of the Covenant was mocked. Point number two, the Ark of the Covenant was mishandled. And then thirdly, the Ark of the Covenant was moved. Look at verse 9 and 10. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a great, very destruction. And in verse 10, therefore they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. Here's what's going on here. Let me simplify it for you. You can look at your Bible, but let me simplify it for you. First, they had the Ark of the Covenant in Ashdod. And in Ashdod, they found that, no, we cannot have the Ark of the Covenant in Ashdod. Let's move it over to Gath. And in Gath, when the Ark of the Covenant was in Gath, the people of Gath, they died and they had hemorrhoids in their secret parts. And they said, well, yeah, well, maybe it doesn't belong in Gath. Let's move it to Ekron. And they moved the Ark of the Covenant to Ekron. And you know what happens? To the people of Ekron, they died. And those that survived, they also were smitten with hemorrhoids in their secret parts. Imagine that. But what they were doing was this. They kept moving the Ark of God. Here's the message for this morning. They kept moving the Ark of God from Ashdod to Gath to Ekron. But can I remind you, Israel always moved with the clouds and with the pillar of fire. They never could move the clouds or the pillar of fire. Let me say it again. Israel had to be moved by God. Israel could not move God. You understand the point? The point is, they were trying to move the presence of God instead of being moved by the presence of God. Isn't that what we do? Sometimes we try to manipulate God. You cannot put God in a box. God is not a character that you only have to deal with on Sundays. That has to fit your schedule. You know the problem with Christianity is today, if God does not fit in our schedule, let's just move God aside. We move God according to how we want God to be moved. We move God to places where we want God to be placed in. But the truth of the matter is, you cannot move God. You should not move God. You should be moved by God. His presence in your life cannot be adjusted or manipulated at your own convenience. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Look at this. What happens when the ark is moved? Well, problems will come when you try to move the presence of God. Hebrews 12, 28, the Bible says, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. A kingdom which cannot be moved. In Psalm chapter 93, verse 1, the Bible says, you don't have to turn there. Let me read those verses for you. Psalm 93, verse 1, the Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he had girded himself. The world also established that it cannot be moved. Psalm chapter 99, verse 1, the Bible says, the Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He that sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. You see, God versus Dagon, Dagon will be moved. God versus your own will be moved. Stop trying to move God in your life. Move with God instead. Amen. So point number one, when the ark of God is mocked, when the ark of God is mishandled, and when the ark of God is moved, problems will happen. If you are not saved today, I tell you, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're thinking that God is just something that if I can conveniently serve, I will serve God. One day you will give an account for your life. One day you will come face to face with the Maker. And you will have to answer the question, what shall we do? What shall we do? What are you going to do with God today? What are you going to do with God today? You know, it's a conscious decision. I was thinking, let me share with you a very heartful and personal testimony. Most of you know what I do for a living, but let me just share with you a personal testimony with my secular job. You know, I have opportunities to promote. I've had several opportunities to promote at work. And for those of you that know, my struggle is having the schedule that works out so I could serve, so I could preach the Word of God on Sundays and during the midweek. But one of the things that I'm afraid of is when I get promoted, or if I ever get promoted again, it's like what happened last year, my schedule is going to change again. And I'm thinking if I take that promotion, that would mean I won't be at church on Sunday. Just like what happened when I had to drive at 5 o'clock in the morning on Sunday to be here. But you know what I was thinking? Here's what I was thinking. Here is a secular job that promises financial stability and promotions and honor and glory and the ability to pay for my family's needs and maybe even more. But at the expense of being used by God in the ministry. I tell you, I want you to pray for me. The challenge is going to become, will I serve the ark of God? Or will I serve Dagon, the god? And the truth is, I shared with you that personal testimony, but the truth is, you and I have the same struggle. For those of you that are young people today that are in college or just graduated from college, I'll tell you, that will be your struggle. In this life, there are many opportunities. In this life, there are many careers and many professions that you can have. But you will come to a point in your life when you will have to choose whether you're going to choose career or serving God. And the answer is, and I hope the answer for you will be, I will choose God instead of Dagon. Because time will prove, if you ever choose the Dagon of your life, time will prove that Dagon of your life that you've chosen to serve will fall down, will be broken, it will fail. And every Christian here that have lived their Christian life long enough can testify to that. In this congregation are many Christians that have been saved for 40, 50 years. But I can tell you, and I guarantee you, I've not heard all of their testimonies, but I can tell you, they will testify that there's a consequence for choosing the spiritual Dagon versus choosing that spiritual tabernacle of God. Every head bow, every eye closed. Would you stand to your feet? What will you do with God? What will you do with God? As the piano plays, the eyes open. Are you going to serve Him? Or are you going to put Him up on a pedestal? As if He is just one of the gods. As if He is just one of the controlling factors or forces in your life. Or will God be the number one in your life? Secondly, are you going to move with God or are you going to move God? Are you going to move the presence of God or are you going to be moved by the presence of God? What are you going to do with God today? The altar is open. If God is calling you to preach, what are you going to do with our calling? God is calling you to be a part of this church. What are you going to do with our calling? God has given you a ministry. What are you going to do with that ministry? But if God is calling you to be saved, what are you going to do with that call to be saved? The altar is open. Brother Roger, would you lift up your voice and close us in prayer, Brother Roger, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your powerful words. We thank you, Lord, for the message that you brought to us today. We thank you, Lord, for taking this into our hearts and our minds. We thank you, Lord, that we need to put you first. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us Jesus Christ, who guides and directs us.